Yeah, if you have your note sheet, again, welcome to Eastlake. We're in this series called Jesus Is, and then the blank. And we're talking about what are different people's ideas about Jesus? How does it line up? And is there anything that needs to change? Sort of weaving into that ideas about church as well. If you stopped 10 different people at the mall or at the movie theater today and said, who is Jesus? You'd probably get 10 different answers. And we're trying to look at it from very specific topics. Today is going to be the topic of friendship, the idea that Jesus is a friend. And to kind of set that up, I want to take us all back a ways, elementary school or middle school, get in the Wayback Machine with me, and go all the way back to what it was like to be in the cafeteria at your lunchroom where you went to school. In the cafeteria, elementary school, junior high school, all the tables that were there. And every school had one thing in common besides the little trays and the little tiny spoons, the long lines. Every school had an unpublished seat chart. Because everybody knew when they came into the cafeteria where the tables were that you normally sat and where you weren't supposed to sit. You could just sort of get a feel for where everybody... There was the table where all the jocks sat at, all the athletes sat over at this table. And then there was close by was the cheerleaders and they all sat over there. And you know, you had the math geeks and the A students all had their little tables and everybody called them names back then. They still call those people names today, like supervisor and boss. That's who they're at today. You know, you had the mean girl table. You had the nice kid table. What table did you sit at? A part of our human nature is we all want to be at a table. I remember when I was in fifth grade, my family moved to a small town. I was a brand new kid. I remember coming into the lunchroom, and I had my lunch tray, and I looked out into the lunchroom. I'm like, okay, where do I fit in? What table am I going to sit at? And today we're going to take a look at a story in the Bible, because in Jesus' day, just like our day, people are people. And there were tables then too. There was social classifications and places where you could sit and you couldn't sit. And in this context of friendship today, here's the big idea. Write it in your notes. Jesus offers us a friendship based on mercy, not merit. Now, 8 different times in the historical record of Jesus, he was offered or invited to attend some type of dinner event. 3 of the times with family or friends, like a wedding or something like that. But 5 times, he was invited to go to dinner with some people that were complete strangers, people that he didn't know at all. It was a different table. We're going to read one of those today. You can grab your note sheet. I'll read it to you. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, Pharisees are the church leaders, religious leaders, they're the big wigs, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, they say it loud enough so he can hear. Anybody ever done that to you? They don't talk to you. They talk to somebody else, hoping you'll overhear.
You ever had that happen? You know they're talking to you, but they don't say it directly to you.
That's what's happening at this dinner party right here. So, Jesus overhears them, and let's see how he responds. You're eating with scum. Why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. And to get the gist of this, this is like telling a professional golfer, go learn how to play golf. These were the people that were supposed to know the Bible inside and out. So get the irony. Jesus gives them a little dig. He says, go and learn what the Bible says. Here's what he says to him. Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. So you think you know it, but go see what it really means. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So we see these two different tables emerge in this story. And we're going to talk about them today. The first one is this table here, and I brought a little sign. We'll call this the sinner's table. And so at this table, there's all the different sinners. Now here's what the sinners would have been. The sinners were the people that had done something in their life that had caused them to have a really bad reputation. Some would even say they ruined their reputation. Maybe you've been there. or there's someone in your family. And every time they show up, anytime their name ever comes up, there's something that they've done that's still attached to them. In those days, they labeled them sinners. If you had such a bad reputation, the disreputable characters, or people that didn't go to church anymore, unchurched people, they're all sort of lumped into this category, like you're the sinners, and tax collectors. Now, here's who they were. Think in your mind the people that you know that would almost do anything as long as it benefits them. You have any friends that you ever grew up with anybody like that, and you liked them, you hung out with them, but it just seemed like they'll almost do anything if it benefits them. Here was the tax collectors. Remember now, Israel, the Israelites, Jewish people, were ruled by the Roman government. And the Roman government taxed them. And the way they played it out is they would recruit Jewish men to be the tax collectors. They were sort of like commission salesmen. They didn't pay them any money. So I don't know if you're a commission salesman, but you know what that's like. There's no salary for you, so you got to hustle if you want to make anything. And the tax collectors were like commission salesmen. They didn't pay any salary. But here's how it worked. The Roman government said, we want you to collect 10% tax. Take that money and send it back to Rome. You can tax people any amount that you want. And anything over 10%, you get to keep. So imagine if you're over at my favorite restaurant, Maverick, and you go in there, you know, you get your gas, and every time you get gas, you got to get a Bahama Mama and chips and a soda and M&Ms and whatever else you can get up to the... And so you get up there, and it's $37. So you go up there, you're spending $37. You went in for just gas, but, you know, it's a little bit more. And so you $37, and you're getting ready to go, and they charge you $63. You're like, $63? He said, well, that's a new tax. And he won't let you leave with your food. And you're like, wait a minute, there's a big gap between $37 and $63. That was tax collectors. They were fleecing people. Very unpopular. You know how you'd feel about the Maverick and the people that worked at the Maverick. If you knew they were charging you way too much, they were already taxed. See, in our day, nobody likes taxes. We just went through the season. Kind of like them now if you're getting them back, but you always feel like you pay too much. What if you were paying 30 or 40% too much and you knew it, but you couldn't do anything about it because the Roman government had said, make one move, disagree at all, one sound, and we'll send the Roman army in. That's these guys. Now, their friendships were all intertwined with that type of lifestyle and that type of attitude. They were the sinners. This is how they felt about God. God doesn't want to be my friend. God doesn't even want to be with me. And here's the important point I want you to hear today. God doesn't need me. That's this table. Okay, now there's another table in the story too. So that's the sinner's tables. Look at this table. This table here, we'll call this table the saints. Now, the saints were the big-wig church people. They were the ones that went to church. They ruled the church. They did all that sort of thing. And they really looked down on the people at this table. And not only that, they had a way of doing relationships, and especially relationships with God. The idea of Jesus being a friend would have been completely foreign to them because they were very legalistic. They didn't see Jesus or God as a friend. They saw him as a judge because they were legalistic. They had rules and regulations, and they had a religion and a structure that they followed, and it was very clear what they could eat, how they could dress, how they could wear their hair, who they could be with, when they were supposed to go to church, what their neighborhood was supposed to be like, when they could go outside, when they couldn't come inside, how much money to give to you, all very, very clear, and you had to measure up to that to be okay with God. God was like an accountant in the sky, checking off boxes whether you did good or did bad. And they were the saints. And so it was really super confusing for them, and they were always asking this question, why does your teacher, Jesus, hang out with the sinners instead of us? We're the ones that are okay with God. We're the ones that are keeping all the rules. It's almost like they had laws. And they were so perplexed that Jesus would be with the sinners instead of with the saints. And these are the two tables that emerge. So just take a moment now and think through your life. your relationships, your friendships? What table do you tend to sit at? Do you do life more legalistically? Do you see your boss as a judge? Your parents, your family? When you go through your life, do you sort of measure up or not measure up? Now, this table here, they felt like God doesn't need me. This table here had gotten to the place where they felt like they didn't really need God. It had become so bad that they couldn't even recognize God in their life. When Jesus shows up as God, they don't even recognize him. In fact, they're questioning his behavior. Sinners and saints. Now, this sort of leads to kind of another thing, and I wanted to put it on our say today. So number one, you wrote in your thing, it's not about saints or sinners. Now listen, watch this verse right here. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So the part that is so confusing to them is, why would God love us before we did anything good or right? Now secondly, put in your notes here, I wanted you to see this. It's not about good or bad. And I brought like a scale today. I wanted you to see. And we're going to call it the badness scale. So put up not the badass scale, the badness scale, the badness scale. Okay. So there's the badness scale right now. Now this is sort of how we do life here when it comes to friendship and relationships, how we relate to God, and just see where you land on the scale. Way over here now, on the scale. That's the, you know, we start out there, and that's the little sins. That's the little sins, like you listen to Lady Gaga, you know, that's a small sin. You know, nobody really gets upset about that, you're kind of weird, but okay, you know. Or you're a dude, you went to The Greatest Showman. Yeah, that's a pretty big sin, but, you know. But anyways, you did that, that's a small sin. Speeding ticket, you know, you showed up at work late, you told your boss you didn't, whatever. That's the small sins right there. And so we still feel pretty good about ourselves, and, you know, that's right there. But then they can become a little bit more severe, they can kind of climb a little bit, and now you're in the type of sins that you don't want anybody to know. You're on the, you know, you're on the badness scale, and you're moving this direction right here. Maybe you told a lie, you did something, and you moved in. And then you go all the way to the other side over here where the red guy's at right there. And those are the unspeakable sins. Those are the ones that you don't want to talk about, and you don't want anybody else to talk about. You don't want anybody to know those. Those are the words that you try to hope you never have to look at. And we measure people this way. It's like on a sliding scale. We go, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And we can believe that God's willingness to be with us has to do with the badness scale. Do you know today there are 50,000 people within 20 minutes of us that are not going to any church? And the reason they're not going is two reasons. Number one, I'm not good enough. Or number two, I'll be told I'm not good enough. So they're not going today. In fact, one of the reasons we're mixing it up at Eastlake and doing dinners and some different things, because we've come to realize that that's a huge barrier for people. They've already decided, I am not good enough for God. Be my friend, he doesn't even want to be my God. And secondly, if I go to church, what they're going to tell me and reinforce is, you're not good enough. Because they see God as someone that has a sliding scale. It goes from good to bad. And here's the crazy thing. This is the amazing thing right here. I can't even measure up to my own ideas of good and sin. My own standards that I have in life, I can't even measure up to those. Can you? Can you go a day or a week where you can actually, you know, assess your life and go, man, I've been spot on this week. Every single thing I've done measured up to my own standard. And that's just us. God's standard? Look at what it says in the Bible, in your notes there. Let's read it together. It's Romans 3:23. Don't let that freak you out. That's just the name of a book that some people wrote, some people in Rome, so they called it Romans. Catchy name, huh? So, but check this out. Let's read it together, okay? On three. It starts with, for everyone has sinned. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. For everyone has sinned. You guys are so lame. No. That's so lame. Let's go. Let's read together. For everyone has sinned. Just stop right there. For everyone has sinned. How's that feel? For everyone has sinned. Okay, let's go on. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Let's read that again. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. I can't read. All right. Here's the point of it. Every single one of us has fallen short of the standard of God. And he does not grade on a goodness or badness scale. God doesn't have a badness scale. You know what his scale is? A perfection scale. He's perfect. When you go to measure up to his standards, the word sin came from the ancient Greek Olympics, and it was the archery term. And when someone would shoot an arrow at the bullseye, and they would miss the bullseye, the distance between the arrow and the bullseye was called sin. That's where the term came from. So you're shooting your arrows at this bullseye, you're shooting the arrows at the bullseye, and the degree that you missed by, even if it was a couple inches, was called sin. And the bullseye is perfection. Not our own standards, God's standards. Do you know why you don't want to break things down to good or bad? Because you'll put God in a box that is way too small to keep him. When I see the world as good or bad, here's the problem with it. Whenever I do anything bad, the best I can hope for is it would be forgotten or somehow swept under the rug. When I break everything down to good or bad, when I do something bad, the best thing that can happen is the bad just somehow isn't bad anymore. But let me tell you about a word in the Bible called redemption. And redemption says, and this is why you cannot break it down to good or bad. Redemption says God can take something bad that's happened and actually turn it into something good. See, he's way bigger than good or bad. He can take all the bad. If you've had something happen in your life recently and it's been bad, or you're going through something bad, or something's been done bad to you, and you thought, well, you know, I hope somehow, someday this doesn't affect me anymore. That's not God's way. His way is to take something that happened bad and turn it into something good. Now, here's the bottom line. You can write it in your notes. You belong at the table. We put some, at the bottom of your note sheet, some books, and I wanted to read you one of the quotes out of the book by Philip Yancey. Jesus moved the emphasis from God's holiness exclusive to God's mercy inclusive. Instead of the message, no undesirables allowed, Jesus proclaimed, in God's kingdom there are no undesirables. What keeps you from moving closer to God? You know, today there's probably all kinds of different people. There's some people here today that maybe you're just checking it out. You're just wondering, seeking. You're thinking about, would I do anything with God? And welcome. It's a great church to explore it. There's probably some people here today and you felt just a notch off with God. You walk with God, you follow him, but something has occurred. You're not even sure when. But you just feel a little foggy. Not quite clear. You're just sort of a notch off with God right now. My hope for you today is that he would notch you back to center, where you'd feel his presence and feel like you're centered with God. Some may be here today and you feel a long ways from God, and you may know why. You might be stubborn and God's asked you to do something, you don't want to do it, or something's occurred, you follow God, but you just feel very distant and far away. And here's my tendency, at least for me, when I feel far from God, I feel like, man, you know, I got to backtrack a long way. I see everything linear, so I think, oh, I missed my exit. Now I got to go all the way up to the next exit and turn around and come back to the God exit. But let me tell you something with Jesus, you don't have to backtrack. He goes where you go. You miss the exit, he misses the exit. He goes where you go. He's with you wherever you go. So when you get to a certain place where you decide, I feel far from God, I want to turn towards him, you do a half turn, and he's right here. I will never leave you or forsake you is the promise. So what keeps you from God? What keeps you from close to God? Then some came today, you're ready to roll. You're like, I am ready to grow spiritually. I'm doing great with Jesus, and we hate you. No, I just play it. This is a church for everyone. You're welcomed at the table. Listen to what the Bible says. The Son of Man, that was his nickname. He was a man of the people. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, this is Jesus talking. He's talking to me, and you say, look at him. He's too much and drinks too much wine. He's a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by those who accept it. The reason we come to church, one of the great reasons we come to church, is so we can take a moment and say, where I'm at right now in the process, I can accept that and I want to be with you. Now here's the other one for us in this setting. Who can you bring to the table? If you've been here any length of time, you know we're really switching it up at Eastlake. And one of the reasons we're switching it up is that across our nation, less and less people are willing to do this right here. Used to be you could invite somebody to church and they would come to church. Not much anymore. So the dinners, and you got this really colorful thing right here, so everybody can have one of these so you kind of know what's going on. But here's the point of it. Somewhere in your life, there's somebody that God's put in your life that you're the bridge for. There's somebody in your life that you're the person for them to look at and be with. There's somebody in your life that's not at the table. They don't even believe they could go to the table. And if you're at the table, God can use you to bring them to the table. And who would that be? The Bible points it very clearly. It says, God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Can you imagine if people knew that? I mean, can you imagine? See, here's the crazy thing is that with these tables here, let me break it down for you when it comes to sin and mistakes and all that. Here's the real categories. It's not the badness scale. It's not the ones you see. Here's the real categories right here. There is us. Everybody's at this table. And there is Jesus. And that's the only categories. Now, religion says, how do we get these people over here? But let me show you the whole story in one move. This is the actual story. Jesus came over here. Wherever you are right now, whatever you're going through, wherever you've been, he's at your table. Whatever's going on at your table, he's at your table and wants to be with you. That's the story. This simple.